Today is July 17th, 2013. We are at our Shabbat study group. And today we have two topics which are related to muktzah, which is a wide-ranging topic in the laws of Shabbat. And before we get into the actual text, and I have less text this time than last time. I think last time we tried to bite off a little more than we should have. I'm just going to go through the categories of muktzah. So I thought before we started the actual content of today's discussion, I would just review the categories of muktzah. It's good to know the categories of muktzah. In future classes, we'll touch on each one specifically and how or if different types of muktzah items may be moved on Shabbat. Muktzah means set aside. And there are different categories of set aside items. One category is called muktzah machmat gufo, which I guess is best translated.
Can I say something? When Ben was a baby, so he had toys in the house. So I said, and played with it. So I said, muktzah. It was like 2 years. So I said, what? He knows what is muktzah? He said, oh, everything, the toys.
He thought all toys are muktzah? Okay, so one category is muktzah machmat gufo, which means muktzah in and of itself. And that's an item. You don't have this in your material. I'm just doing this outside just to get a general sense of what muktzah is. Muktzah machmat gufo is any item that has no use on Shabbat.
What is the word? What's the explanation of the word?
Muktzah machmat gufo. Muktzah in and of itself.
What is
inherently
muktzah?
Muktzah means set aside. Set aside or set apart, actually, is a better term. So, for example, a stone, a rock, has no use on Shabbat. Animals fall into the category of muktzah machmat gufo on Shabbat, which is why we're going to discuss in a few minutes about walking our dogs on Shabbat. This is a dog-loving community, and so we have to talk about that. Coins, money, are muktzah machmat gufo. They have no permitted use on Shabbat.
Okay, but like coins have a permitted use normally, but like rocks. Rocks have a permitted use? Do dogs have a permitted
use? Well, rocks have been used for building.
Okay.
Okay.
The use of a dog.
I have no use for a dog.
Next.
Same thing on Shabbat.
We'll see. Okay. Muktzah machmat chisaron kis. Things that are muktzah because of their value. That normally people do not move these items because they don't want to ruin them. So, like, for example, the classic example given in halacha is a shechita knife, right? A shechita knife is not going to be used to go cut your chicken for dinner or to go cut your tree stump in the backyard because since it's a valuable item which needs to be kept in a certain way and not ruined, it's only moved for specific reasons. And therefore, it's muktzah on Shabbat. Not because shechita is not allowed on Shabbat, but because this item is muktzah machmat chisaron kiss. Any type of item, for example, probably, let's say a musical instrument would be muktzah machmat chisaron kiss, or a collection of some sort. Someone has a collection of some sort that they normally don't go through. Like a stamp collection is a classic question. A stamp collection is something you do look at, but something which you don't, which you keep in the vault, which you keep in a, you know, hidden far away and you don't normally use it, family heirloom that is not normally touched, that's muktzah machmat chisaron kis. The next is what's called a basis l'davar asur. That is an item which is normally allowed, but before Shabbat you placed something on it which is muktzah. So you have this tray which inherently is not muktzah, but if before Shabbat you leave your phone on it, the phone's muktzah, so the item which is supporting the phone is muktzah. The classic example is the tray on which you have candlesticks. The candlesticks are muktzah, but the tray inherently is not muktzah. But now the candlesticks are on the tray, and so the tray becomes muktzah. I don't want to get into the details of can. I'm just giving, we're going to, there is a classic way of how to move the candlesticks on Shabbat, but that's another category of muktzah. Another category of muktzah is kelim or kli shemelachtau leisur, an item which is used for something which is not allowed on Shabbat. It's normally used for something during the week which you're not allowed to do on Shabbat.
Like scissors.
Like a hammer or scissors, exactly. Which you normally use on, during the week for something which you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. In fact, Rav Melamed gives Misparayim as one of the examples. Okay, so those are the categories of Muktzah. We're today going to talk mostly about the category of Muktzah that I started with, Muktzah Machmat Gufo. In and of itself, these have no purpose, no permitted purpose, and no purpose really on Shabbat. So let's first start with the dog. Okay, so now we're going to go to the paper that you have, and it's double-sided. We're going to start with the one that says page 81, 82. Does anyone want to read? Well, part of the process here was to brush up on our Hebrew. But
I can read, but for me it's easy. But okay, maybe
so
they want to.
Anyone want to read a sentence or two sentences? No? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'll read it, but you should follow along. Listen for the translation, but also try to follow along. So maybe you'll pick up a Hebrew word here and there. Maybe you'll pick up a meaning of something. Okay, kafi shenilmad lehalan, as we will learn further in the book, which is what I just did for you. Kol davar she'ein bo shimush b'shabbat, harehu mukza. All items, or any item that has no use on Shabbat, is mukza. Va'asur l'taltel oto b'shabbat, and one is prohibited from handling it on Shabbat. B'chlal ze gam ba'alei chayim. In this category, klal is a category. B'chlal ze, in this category, Balei chayim, animals, nechshavim mukta, are considered mukta, va'asur l'taltel otam b'shabbat, and we are not allowed to move them, to touch them on Shabbat,
What do you mean she'ein b'em shimush? The dog is protecting, so he is. We're using him to protect us, so in Shabbat he protects us too.
That's a good question. Let's, for argument's sake, say we're talking about most of the dogs in this community that are not protecting anyone from anything. Many of them are like 1,000 years old in dog years, on dialysis during the week. But again, even a dog that's protecting, you don't have to use it for it to protect you. Use means physical. Use here in the halachic term is referring to a physical encounter, physically touching. You don't need to physically touch or move your dog for it to provide its protection. So that's what Rabbi Melamed says. So of course we have the question, what about our cats, our dogs? Can I hold my cat in my lap on Shabbat? Can I carry the dog on Shabbat? Can I walk the dog on Shabbat? This would be seemingly a problem since the dog is muktzah on Shabbat. In the situation where one has to take them from their place in order to avoid pain, in that case the rabbis permitted us to push them or pull them, but not to lift them. So if your house is on fire, you can kick your dog out. If he's not going to move, he's an old dog. He's not going to move. Presumably, if we would end it here, we have more to do, but we're going to go step by step. So dogs are muktzah, and therefore, just like any other muktzah item, like a phone, we're not allowed to move it on Shabbat. L'chora, and now Rabbi Melamed gets to the key. L'chora, apparently, Kach hadin gam ligabe chayot machmad. Apparently, this is also the halacha regarding chayot machmad, which means animals of affection, which is a pet. Pet animals. Kichatulim uchilavim, like cats and dogs. Shasur letaltalam, it seems that you're not allowed to touch, move them. V'rakadei l'nomehem tsar, the only time you could move them is to make sure they're avoiding pain. Mutar ledofcham o legoram, you could push them or pull them, aval lo laharimam, but you can't carry them. And then he actually notes that this is the opinion of Rav Avadi Yosef. Now he gives his own opinion.
So pull them as a walk a dog, or is that different?
Yeah, to get them out of trouble only.
Oh.
Now the question is, tsar, I guess, may mean if they have to go relieve themselves, and they won't do it in the house because you've trained them. Unless you take them outside, they'll be on tsar. Maybe that would apply. Maybe. But Rav Melamed, the author of the book, is going to give a much more wide-ranging allowance here. Ulam yoter nireh shedin muktza kayam legabe balei chayim she'ein regilim l'sachek imam. However, it seems that the halacha of muktza regarding animals only applies to those animals with whom we are not accustomed to playing with. Aval chayot machmad pets shebaleihem regilim laharimam ulhishtasheah behem b'chol hashavua. But pets whose owners normally pick them up, play around with them all week, einam muktza. They are not muktza.
So what kind of other animals are there?
Cows.
Oh.
Chicken in your, you have chickens in your backyard, which we have a few people in our community have chickens in their backyard.
Maybe it was someone else's pet. I couldn't.
That's a good question. Perhaps you could, because it's not, once it's already in the category of a pet, it's not muktza at all. It's the owner's, it's really up to the owner, it seems like, how the owner interacts with it. Umutar leba'alehem, he says the owner, however, so perhaps. Umutar leba'alehem lingoa behem ulharimam. In that case, the owner can, in fact, pick them up and move them. V'chein klavei nichiyah. That's a guide dog. I believe that's what that is. Eina muktzan b'shabbat. Is not muktzah on Shabbat. That's a very important thing, because otherwise a blind person who uses a guide dog...
Very obvious use on Shabbat.
Correct. Exactly. V'chein pasak harav Feinstein. So he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, a very important halachic authority. V'harav Orbach, another very important halachic authority. V'av she'esh machmirin, even though there are those who are strict, kevan she'din muktzah hu midivrei chachamim, since muktzah is a rabbinic law, halacha kedat hamikilim. The halacha is in accordance with the lenient ones. So it's important to know that animals, generally speaking, are muktzah. But pets, which are normally held and played with, are not. Now, this may have applications to, let's say, a parrot. A parrot is not an animal that you normally hold. Maybe. I don't have one. But maybe it seemed that would not be an animal that you normally cuddle with.
Me.
Right. So it could be that this would not apply. This would require a little more further discussion. It would maybe not apply to a bird, a pet bird. It may apply to a pet gerbil if you normally take the gerbil out and play with it. If you don't take the gerbil out and play with it, you probably shouldn't on Shabbat. And therefore you And if you have to do anything with the cage, whatever the case may be, you should do that before Shabbat or after Shabbat. But generally, the animals that are most common, dogs and cats, Rav Melamed and Rav Feinstein and Rav Orbach say they're not muktzah. And that makes sense, because muktzah means set aside. But if the item is not really set aside, it's always something which is used by the person.
I think
that's not muktzah.
I think the other animals... You're not allowed to, because they have to do work, like cow. I mean, you're working in the refit, and you milk the cow, or in the chicken, you walk around, you collect the eggs. So this work. And
but we're not talking about, let's say, you know,
that's why you're not
we're not talking about collecting the eggs.
Because once you touch them, it's like as if you're...
Well, maybe that's why it's not. Maybe that's why it doesn't fit into this category. Because since those are animals which are normally viewed as animals, beasts of burden or animals that provide things for us, they are set aside. And so, if you have chickens in your backyard, unless you treat your chickens as cats and you pick them up and which you probably don't do because that's gross. That would be the halacha. Okay, let's move on. Eddie has the chickens.
Not anymore.
Oh, no more? Okay.
We're causing them. Yeah, no, I didn't like them, so you had to get rid of them.
Okay, so let's look on top of the left page. Okay. What about this strange situation? You have an aquarium,
yeah.
Right? And a fish jumps out or not even an aquarium, you have a little whatever, a little fishbowl, and you come there, you come to your fishbowl on Shabbos, and you see the fish has fallen out, but it's alive. So we have a problem.
Oh, but this
because this is not a hugging. We don't, you know, take our fish out and pet them and hug them. What's that?
About the gecko.
No, but it's about saving the life of the animal.
So let's
this
see. Here we go. Here we go. Dog, this would answer your gecko question perhaps. Dog shekafatz min ha-aquarium. Now you learned a new Hebrew word. How to say aquarium in Hebrew. Aquarium. V'im yachziruhu l'akvarium, yesh lahaniach sheyichyeh. If you put the fish back in the aquarium, there's a chance it will live. L'marot shehadag muktza mutar lahachziro. You are allowed in that case, even though this animal is, this fish is muktza, you can put it back. B'pnei shebishat hadechak kishein pitaron acher mishum tsar ba'alei chayim mutar l'taltel. Muktza. In order to avoid the biblical prohibition, and this is an emergency situation, of causing pain to animals, you're allowed to move this muktza item. V'af sheyesh macharim bazeh, efshar l'smoch al ha-mekilim. Even though there are some who strict on this, Rav Melamed says we could rely on the lenient opinions. Now, this would actually apply, I think, to your question that you asked at the beginning, Deborah, about the gecko. And I think that the halacha would be that even in this case, you can't do it in a way where it's trapped. Well, I don't think trapping...
it wasn't really trapped. I mean, we were holding it by the tail and holding a cup underneath, so it didn't...
Okay. So I think that would be okay.
Yeah, we had to get rid of it.
There you go. Okay, let's finish this last paragraph. Kishe'echad mehadagim shebe'ekvarium meit. Let's say one of the fish dies in the aquarium. V'im yeshiruhu sham yesh chashash sheyadbik et shar hadagim b'machalato. V'af hem yamotu. Yamutu. You're afraid that whatever this fish died from will now spread to the other fish, and they will die. L'marotchuhu muktza, even though the fish is muktza, mutar lehotziyo min ha'akvarium kedei lehatzilom. You can take the animal out of the aquarium in order to save it, save the other ones. V'im yesh sham chatul o kelev, tov sheitein oto lefnehem. Instead of carrying it further to flush it down the toilet to throw it in the garbage, it's better just to give it to a dog. Maybe in that case, it's viewed as it's not muktzah because as a use, the use is you're using it as food for your dog or your cat. So that is in brief the halacha of walking our dogs and on Shabbat or carrying our cats, playing with them on Shabbat. Rav Melamed says it's permitted to do all these things. Because what he calls chayot machmad, pets, are not muktza on Shabbat. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, great. Next. Garbage.
Oh.
Garbage. Anyone ever consider the fact that their garbage may be muktza? If you had to categorize it, now that you know the categories of muktza, where would you categorize it?
I mean, I knew that my parents, when they didn't do that.
Your parents didn't take out the garbage?
Not on Shabbat.
On Shabbat.
They were waiting for...
Okay.
I think...
This is why.
I thought it was time to not...
But I
that's
do
a separate
it
issue.
Because I didn't...
Why do you do it?
Because of the smell.
Okay, good. Good answer. Ding, 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 ding. Good answer.
Because of my husband.
Well, because he smells?
No, he has OCD about things like that.
Okay, good. We're in good shape then. Technically speaking, garbage is muktzah. It's muktzah machmat gufo. What use is there for this on Shabbos? Right? Muktzah machmat gufo, we
it's
said.
It's work. It really works.
There's no use for... The proof of the... what's the proof of the fact that there's no use of whatever's in the garbage on Shabbos? You put it in the garbage. Right? But that there's no greater symbol of saying that I have no more use for this than throwing it in the garbage. So how are we allowed to take our garbage out on Shabbos? Right? We have company, whatever it is. We fill up the garbage can. Now it's full. And whether I need more room or not, it begins to smell. It's unseemly. My husband's OCD about it. Whatever the case may be, I got to get rid of it. Am I allowed to? That's
a real question. Sometimes we've done extreme measures. If we don't have Pesach, Shabbat, Shabbat, it's crazy, we're overflowed, we like send people with garbage and they bring it to their dumpster.
Right.
It's 2 days, yeah.
Right, okay, here we go. So now...
church at the end of this week.
Okay, here we go. On the bottom of page 172. Lemarot shedivarim ha-me'usim biyoter kmo geref, giraf, or geref shel re'i, bottom of 172. Despite the fact that this exceedingly disgusting things, a geref shel re'i literally means a pot of waste. That's the example that the Gemara uses to discuss this issue in the Talmud. You have a pot of waste, right? In the old days, they didn't have plumbing. So whenever there was waste, it was there.
It's Aramaic geref.
Yes. It was there. I mean, that's even more gross. Achbar mate, a dead mouse. Upsolet ma'achalim, garbage from food. Hey, muksa machmat gufo. We just learned the categories of muksa. These things are muksa in and of themselves. They have no use. Hey, tiru chachamim, despite this. Hey, tiru chachamim, lehotziyam mishum kivodo shel ha'adam. The rabbis, remember, the rabbis are the ones who made up muksa to begin with. So the good news is when the rabbis make up a rule, they also sometimes make up exceptions to the rules. The exception to the rule is things which are gross because of kavod shel adam. We have a certain type of human, a certain human dignity that we're supposed to maintain. And keeping smelly garbage around is an affront to our dignity. V'lo hitrichu oto lehotzi et hadavar hametunaf b'shinui o betiltul mul hatzad. When we learn more laws of muktzah, we'll learn that sometimes even things which are muktzah, you can move in an abnormal way. Like you find you need to move your cell phone on Shabbos so you could kick it off the bed or elbow it off the bed or lift the mattress until it falls off the bed. But you don't even have to do that. You don't have to take out the garbage with your teeth or, you know, with the back of your foot. You
so
could just take it out the normal way.
Are you allowed to kick the telephone on the floor?
Well, there are certain types of muktzah that if you need the space that it's in, you're allowed to kick it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ella gam biyad mutar lehotzio. You're allowed to move these things, meaning the geraf shel re'i, these disgusting things, with your hand. V'chozeh b'tanai. All of this is dependent on the following condition. Sheheim nimtza'im b'makom sheboheim mafri'im la'adam. They are in a place that bother people. Aval im hayu b'makom she'enam mafri'im. If they are in a place that is not bothering people, Asur lahazizan kedin muktza. So meaning once you get the garbage into the dumpster outside, presumably it's not bothering you there anymore, then you can't move it. But if it's in your kitchen and it's bothering you, you can take it out to the dumpster outside. V'hakol taloi b'chumrat ha-tinuf uvim komo. It all depends, top of 173, on the severity of the disgustingness and its place. Babayit, gam divarim mitunafim me'at, even things which are slightly offensive, kimo sirim shenotru behem shirei ma'achal, pots, right? This is interesting. Another question.
Oh.
Let's say,
so you're
right?
You're allowed to wash them?
Well, let's say, for example, you prepare food for Shabbos, a chulin pot, and you scoop out all the chulin from the chulin pot into a bowl, and you serve the bowl. Now you have a dirty pot. That pot is muktzah machmat gufo. Right? That pot has no more use on Shabbos. It's muktzah. You shouldn't be able to move it. So he says you could move it because in the house, leaving a dirty pot in the middle of the living, in the middle of the kitchen or wherever it is, even though it's only mitunaf ma'at, it's a little offensive. It's not like a bedpan or a garbage pail, but still it's unpleasant to be around. Kimosirim. So now you know why this is permitted. Shenotru behem shirim achal v'kosot shenotru behem ma'at yayin v'ner sheman mifuyach. Even if you have a cup that has a leftover wine in it, or a burnt out oil lamp that has extinguished. Kasher heim gormim li'in imut. Rabbi Malamed takes a very liberal stance here, I think. If they cause, ini imut means any unpleasantness. I just don't like it. Like you said, Deborah, whether it's a condition or just someone just doesn't like it, it ruins their aesthetic sensibilities or their ability to enjoy Shabbat. Dinam kedin geref shel ra'i umutar lefnotam.
That's very interesting.
They have the halacha of a bowl of waste, and therefore you're allowed to move them on Shabbat.
Nothing bothers you. Like I get that cooking spray, I could leave that out there for 2 weeks and it wouldn't bother me sitting there.
Would it bother someone else in the house?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And then he walked in
here. Right.
Yeah, but really, the custom is among the very religious people to leave even the dishes from lunch.
Well, that's a different issue. That's a different issue.
Not kelim etunafim?
It might be. It might be. Let's continue. V'chein hadin b'chatzer samuch l'makom yishivat anashim. Let's talk about a backyard or a porch or a courtyard. Let's say you have there's garbage there. That's less offensive because it's not in your house. But if you're sitting out there and it bothers you, you can move it. And you're not required to leave. But you're allowed to move the offensive item. Aval shelo samuch l'makom yishivatam. But if it's not close, asur lifnotam, then you can't move it. Let's say there's real waste in the street or in the courtyard where people walk. Since that's exceedingly disgusting, even if it's far away from you, you're allowed to move it. Let's say it's in the back of your house where you never go. Asur lefnota, then you can't move it. Him haita sham nivela masricha sharecha hara nodef vigorem tsar. Let's say there's a dead animal, and the odor is wafting to where you are, and it's causing you discomfort. L'marot she'ein holchim liadat. Right? It may be in a place where you're not going to walk. Mutar l'salka, you're allowed to move it, because the fact that it's close enough for you to smell the bad odor is enough of an allowance. So this is very, as you see, subjective. And it really depends on, as Laura pointed out, on people's sensitivities. Mutar lifnot me'ashulchan biyad klipot v'garinim she'im muktza v'laniach bepach. Similarly, you can remove shells or seeds from the table. Those are also muktza, right? I have some pistachio nuts on Shabbos. And now the shells are sitting there on the table. So they're muktza. They have no use. But if they bother me, I don't want my Shabbos table to be strewn with shells, I'm allowed to move them. Umutar lasot od gam b'shnei shlavim kigon shabitchila yifnu otam letzara shulchan. You could do that you could move them aside, and then move them later.
It's better to do that in shnei.
No, what he's saying, you may think it's worse once you have it moved over to the side. Maybe it's not such a big deal. He says you can still do that. Mifatzeach garinim.
You said something interesting.
I did? Which is?
To sweep.
Yeah, to sweep on Shabbat. Right. You're allowed to sweep a hard floor on Shabbat.
You do?
Yes. Yeah. A hard floor. There's a big discussion whether or not you're allowed to use one of those carpet sweepers. Those non-electric, those mechanical carpet sweepers on carpet. Some say yes, some say no. Okay.
So you're allowed to do it with a broom?
Especially our synthetic brooms that never break. The two concerns are you're going to flatten the ground and you're going to break the broom, neither of which are a concern on a floor like this. Okay. So now in Israel, right, if you ever spend any time in Israel, it's very common to spend all Shabbos afternoon eating sunflower seeds the whole day. Right, from the time lunch is over till Marv, people are eating sunflower seeds. So the common way to eat it is you put the whole seed in your mouth. If you live in Israel, you develop this ability. You crack the sunflower in your mouth, extract the seed with your tongue, and then you're left with the two sides of the seed, of the shell. So that's muktzah. Now what do I do with it? So you could say it's muktzah, you have to just spit it out. No, he says you'll have to take it out with your hand and put it on a plate or on the table. You shouldn't hold on to it for too long. You could also clean out the accumulated junk from the strainer in the sink. When you pour out stuff into the sink, it accumulates there. Finally, pach sheyesh bo ashpa hu muktza kmo ashpa betocho. The garbage can itself is muktza, just like the muktza inside of it. Why? We learned this a few minutes ago. Because it is a basis l'davar asur. It is now holding, like we said, the tray. It is holding another item of muktza. Aval im hapach hit male v'nigremet mikach in imut. If it's full and causing discomfort, mutar l'rokan et tichulato l'pach hazevel birichov. One is allowed to empty it into the dumpster in the street. And then you can return the garbage can to the house. So you could see that Rabbi Melamed here has a very open view on how to deal with these things. And these are common practices, of course, but now we know why. Now we know why it's common practice to walk our dogs on Shabbat. Now we know why it's common practice to clean our tables, move our dishes that are dirty, clean the table, sweep the floor, and take out the garbage. You don't have to take out the garbage on Shabbat, but certainly if it bothers you, one is allowed. You could even argue that you have to take out the garbage on Shabbat, because if it ruins your own egg Shabbat, then you should do it.
So does filling a dishwasher fall into this category?
Which Rabbi Melamed?
Yes, you may fill your dishwasher on Shabbat if you normally do that. Meaning if normally after you eat, you take the dishes and put them in the dishwasher, you could do that on Shabbat also. It is somewhat related to this. It's also related to the whole question of, is the dishwasher itself muktzah? It's a different, not exactly related, but the part about moving the dirty dishes is related to this. Yes. Okay, and that brings us to the end of this week's Chaburah. Thank you, and thank the Yaffis for hosting.